And today I believe that these words just kept popping up in my head for today's message, and it was this: don't give up. Don't give up. I don't know if you're here today and you feel like giving up, or maybe it's not those particular words, but it's I'm just frustrated, I'm tired, I'm alone, I'm sad, I'm depleted, I'm fill in the blank. Whatever it is, you just feel drained and depleted. There's something that the Word of God wants to speak to us this morning, and I want to tell you this. I'm going to give you five things. They all start with R, so hopefully we can remember them. I don't know what to do. I just feel like I've been in this mood. What does God have to say about that? Have you ever been there? You just want to call it quits? Have you ever been there where you just like, you know, you love your son and your daughter, and you're praying for them, but you just feel like nothing's ever going to be good enough? I want to encourage you today, don't give up. Maybe you're going through a physical, medical battle right now, and you say, this is my third or fourth visit or treatment or whatever, and I just don't know if there's, I just feel, I'm just tired. Here's the words that I hear people saying a lot. You ready? It's, I'm done. You ever hear people saying that? I'm done. Or maybe you've said it yourself. I'm just done. I'm done with this whole COVID thing. I'm done with all the chaos and the storms of the world. I'm done with not having power in my house, right? Amen. You know, I'm done with not knowing. I'm just done. And though you don't really mean it, like deep down, you're not saying I'm done. I'm going to walk away from my faith. You're not saying I'm done. I'm not doing anything anymore. You're saying I'm just done doing whatever it is I was doing because it's not working anyway, or at least it feels that way. And we've got to be very careful in these moments. When you feel like quitting, giving up, or you have this attitude of, I'm done, you need to find out what God has to say. Because there's always something He's got for us. But if you don't go seek Him, what you do is you either keep doing what you've been doing, or you quit. And the problem with that is if you're not seeking the Lord and you're just seeking yourself, or you give up or quit, it'll leave you with a grumpy spirit, okay? Because you'll start saying things like, can it ever get better? Is there any hope? It just feels useless to even try. And it can leave you with the grumpy spirit where even the most beautiful mornings are miserable. The sun can shine, the birds can sing, the clouds can part. You know, your breath can smell like mints all day long. And your hair never gets messed up. Your makeup's always perfect. But yet, you've got a grumpy spirit inside of you. And you've probably experienced this before, where you don't want to feel the way that you feel, but you can't deny the fact that you feel it. What do I do? I'm trying to take that to the Lord. How do I work and navigate through this? Because if you don't learn how to approach this from God's perspective and from the Word of God, it leaves you with that grumpy spirit. Reminds me of a poem. I read this to you like 4 or 5 years ago, but kind of sums it up. It says, I woke early one morning, the earth lay cool and still, when suddenly a tiny bird perched on my windowsill. He sang a song so lovely, so carefree, and so gay, that slowly all my troubles, they started to slip away. And he sang of far-off places, of laughter and of fun. It seemed as very trilling, brought up the morning sun. I stirred beneath the covers, crept slowly out of bed, then gently shut the window and crushed his tiny head. I know, it's kind of like funny but boo, right? But let me just say, doesn't that sometimes sum up, have you ever had those mornings or those days where no matter how bright the sun shines, no matter how good things really are going on, inside, there's this, I'm almost nervous to say bitter or angry, maybe, frustrated, depressed. You're almost angry that you're angry. Have you ever been angry that you're angry? I'm angry and I don't even know why, and that makes me angry that I'm angry, you know? And it just leaves you with that. What do you do in those seasons when you just say, I just want to quit and give up. I'm done because I don't know what else to do. Well, the Word of God has something to say about that. And quitting, by the way, can I tell you, quitting, it, when we're talking about our faith, quitting is not an option. Now, it's an option that people sometimes have unfortunately chosen to walk away from. But I'm talking about, God says that it's not about an optional thing. He says, I want relationship with you. Now, there's some things that might be good to quit. If God comes and speaks to you and says your attitude needs to change, then it's probably a good thing to quit leaning into your own understanding and start leaning into His. Amen? Right? I'm going to ask you to interact a little bit so I can make sure we're all together on this. But then there's times where you want to quit on the things that God says not to. And those are the most frustrating because you don't even know why God's saying it. You feel like you've done everything that you can. Unless God comes through with some kind of miracle, well, you see, God's in the miracle business. He has the ability to pull you through all of that. So quitting is not always an option. There's things that we need to understand that in life, you just don't give up on. You don't give up on your faith. You don't walk away from that. In relationships, those of you that are here and that you're married, marriage is challenging. Amen? You have to learn a lot. Amen? But you don't quit. Amen? Okay, I'm going to say it one more time, and you got to say amen real loud just for the benefit of the partner that's sitting next to you. You don't quit on relationships. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, see, now they feel way better. They're like, he's not quitting on me. She's not quitting on me. See, quitting's not an option. Raising your children is something that takes grace and endurance. I think everyone can say amen and amen and amen. But you don't quit. You never stop being mom and dad. Well, I wasn't the best mom and dad. I wasn't perfect. Nobody is. Well, I know others that did it better. Me too. You be the mom and dad that God's called you to be, but you never quit. Well, you don't understand. They stole from me and, you know, they physical harm. Okay, well, you got to use wisdom in situations, but you never quit. You're still mom and dad. Now, here's an easy one. When you're pregnant, you don't quit. There's no, let's just rewind the tape. I remember my sister, if she doesn't want me telling the story, she's just going to have to punch me in the arm later. But I remember when she her telling the story when she had her first child. And, you know, you get so far along, labor kicks in. And I don't know who was with her. It might have, whoever was there. I just remember hearing the story. And she's like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. And it's kind of like everyone's like, this is happening, sister. You know what I mean? You ain't stopping this. You can't reverse this. You can't push back up further. You can't. This is going to happen. The question is when things happen in life that aren't quite feeling comfortable or working out the way that you wanted them to, what are you going to lean into? You just don't at 8 months of pregnancy in the middle of labor at the hospital just say, I'm done. You can say, I'm done all day long and that baby's still coming. And it's the same way in this season in our life where sometimes we feel like, I'm done, but I'm here to tell you, God wants to birth something new in your life. You can say, I'm done all day long, but this baby's coming. It doesn't matter what COVID says. It doesn't matter what hurricanes say. It doesn't matter what tornadoes say. What matters is what the Word of God says. There's something, get ready, church, I'm telling you, I'm hoping sooner rather than later, but there's something that God's going to birth forth. He's going to bring forth in our nation. We've read Chronicles. If my people who were called by my name, remember that? Well, I think people are calling out now, and I think you're going to see something. Unfortunately, sometimes, like us, when we say, we cry out to God, how many of you, and I'll mention this later too, but how many have been guilty of, don't raise your hand, have been guilty of when you're going through a difficult time, you maybe cried out to mom and dad and to the bank and to your friends and tried to fix things, and then you decided to cry out to the Lord. You know, it's kind of like he was the last option, you know. And I feel like in our nation, we've kind of done that with God. We kicked him out of schools. We started saying that, you know, we don't need him. And now we're going, what's wrong? I don't get it. And then we look back and go, hey, hindsight. People start watching that. We're in a season where we feel like we're saying, I'm done. I want to quit. I want to give up. And the question is what are you going to do? What are we to do as Christians, as believers in Christ Jesus? You know that you will have to quit some things. You know, there's some things that God may tell us to stop doing that we don't want to stop doing, and then there's things that we want to stop doing, and he's going to say, don't stop doing that. Reminded me of the old song. I'm going to see how many of you know this guy. You got to know when to hold them. Know when to fold them. Yeah, we got Kenny Rogers fans in here. Know when to walk away, know when to run. Okay, it's just kind of a funny song, but I'm thankful that we have more than the words of Kenny Rogers. We have the words of Jesus Christ who has something to say to us from his word today. And the five things I want to give you are things that we can process when we feel like I'm done. And we're not just saying I'm done like I'm making the mental decision that I quit, though we feel like it. What we're really stating is I'm done. I've exhausted every avenue. I don't know what else to do. I'm lost. I feel hopeless. And I don't know what's next. Here's what you do. Number one, write this down. You start here with revisiting your beginnings. You revisit your beginnings. When you feel like I'm done, I'm exhausted, depleted, revisit your beginnings. Let me give you just a couple of examples of what I mean. In marriage. Marriage, when you start because you're all in love and passionate and all this is going to be neat, you know, and everyone kind of, it's all fun in the beginning. But as time goes on, what can happen, I'm not saying it happens with everybody, but what can happen is in the busyness of life and in the children that you have between the PTA meetings and the soccer games and the football practice and the band, whatever, you know, is going on, you get busy with life and you're just going this way and that way, that there's a distance that starts to come. And then all of a sudden, your son and your daughter move to Des Moines and to San Diego, specifically for us. And we had decided, we had talked earlier, and I said, we know this. Number one, I am a husband first, a father second. She is a wife first, a mother second. And obviously, the number one thing is Jesus. But when things happen, what the challenge is there can be this distance. Life got so busy, and this has happened for so many, that when life gets busy and they start to identify themselves with all the things they do for and with their kids, it creates a distance that when life changes, you start going, what do we do now? What you do is you come to this place of revisiting your beginnings. Why you're doing what you're doing in the first place. Maybe it's on your job. You're in a job and you get busy and you're doing the job and you're good at the job even, but there's just something that you're like, I just don't know what's fulfilling. And you got to ask yourself, why am I doing what it is that I'm doing? And I can't answer that for you. Only God can, because God may come and say, okay, you may not be happy with your job right now, but I've got you here for such a time as this. There's a bigger picture that's taking place that you don't know. Or maybe God will come and say, I've got a new thing for you, but let me get that ready. Just don't go willy-nilly quitting on me. You know, you must seek him and revisit those beginnings, because it's at the beginnings where you discover what it is that you're so passionate for and that you're passionate about. We've got to come to this place of revisiting the beginnings and remembering what's most important. The reason we have to remember is because we forget, right? You ever forget things? Directions, names, the thing your wife asked you to do, the thing your husband asked you to do. You know, there's a story of an older gentleman who was reading a newspaper, and he found this article and he read it out loud to his wife, and it said, men are losing their memory cells faster than women do. And the wife said, that must be true. This is the third time you've read me this article. Sometimes we forget little things, but sometimes we forget what's most important too. It's all about a relationship with Jesus Christ, and when we get to seasons where we feel like we're done, we must revisit our beginnings and come back to what's most important. And when we do that, we start to get his perspective. In the Bible, I think of, when I think about quitters or people that said, I'm done. I'm just finished with all this. I think of Peter. Peter comes to mind. Peter in the Bible was a fisherman, and we see through the Gospels how the Lord called him and used him. In the midst of all of that, he wanted to quit. Peter wanted to quit, but he didn't. He just wanted to. And if he had, he would have missed out on, he would have missed the risen Christ personally, being a part of that. And we find Peter, first of all, being called by Jesus to become a fisherman, not of fish, but of men and of women. And it says in Matthew, and the scriptures I went through, most every one of them today are out of the Message translation, just because I liked how they worded it. But in Matthew chapter 4, verse 20, it says this: Jesus said to them, come with me, and I will make you a new kind of fisherman out of you. I'll show you how to catch men and women instead of perch and bass. Jesus is calling them. And it says that they let down their nets. In other words, everything I identify with, I'm leaving to follow you. Why? Because they were passionate about Jesus. That was his beginning. So then you fast forward the tape a little bit. Jesus was offering them a new beginning to follow him. And the scripture says that they left their nets. And he starts to teach Simon Peter how to fish, how to reach people. And it says that Jesus went to them in Luke chapter 5, and it says, Master, we've been fishing all night and haven't caught even a minnow, but if you say so, I'll let down the nets. Remember that story? We've talked about this particular portion of Scripture a couple times this year. And it says that he told him, he said, let down your nets on the right side and watch what happens. Oh, Jesus, we've been fishing all night, but if you say so, that's so important. If you say so, and Peter didn't whine, he didn't complain, shuck or jive, make excuses, say his feet hurt. He simply said, Jesus, if you say so, then I'll do it. And it's here in the beginning that Peter learned what it means to let down his nets. In other words, identify with who Christ is, not with what he does. He knew that this was his passion, and this was his desire to follow after Christ. And from there, you see that they traveled around. Many things took place. Jesus empowered the disciples to go. They saw miracles, miracle after miracle. Things were going great, but then. How many of you like it when there's a but that comes, you know? You're doing great at your job. You're phenomenal. We'd really love to move you up the ladder and give you a raise, but... And when they say that, whatever they said before just went out the window, didn't it? You know, and he says, there's something that you need to know. And Jesus starts to tell them about what must take place. And they don't understand. He says, you know, I'm calling you. I'm empowering you. I want you to go be fishers of men. I want you to just, I don't want you to worry or fear. I want you to go in the power and in the anointing of Jesus Christ. But you need to know this. I'm going to be going away. And they're going to mock me. They're going to whip me. They're going to send me to a cross. But 3 days later, I'm going to rise from the dead. And they were like, okay. They didn't get it. They didn't understand what it is he was saying. And so they didn't know what to do. And Jesus starts to talk to them about all the things that must take place. And Peter thinks that when that actually is fulfilled, Peter thinks, I must have missed something here. I don't get it because I thought he was going to be the Savior, the one that would free us from the Roman oppression. I thought he'd be the one that would, you know, give us the victory. But you see, the victory Peter was looking at was not the same victory that Jesus was looking at. And so he had a wrong perspective. And so he thought, maybe I missed it. And Peter got back. Here's what Peter did. Peter went back to the fishing boat and started fishing and started to do what it is that he did because it was the last thing he could remember that he was passionate about. Now, when things don't go your way, I'm not a proponent for going back into doing what you used to do or going back into your worldly way of thinking. But what I'm saying is this. Peter went back and started to revisit that beginning. He wanted to see what was it that once got me passionate. And while he was there, if you look later in the Bible, it says that a man came walking down the road. And the man cried out to Peter. And the man said, hey, are you catching anything? Peter said, nothing. And the man said, throw down your nets on the right side of the boat. Peter, this isn't in the Bible, but I'm kind of thinking if I were Peter, I'm not throwing my nets in the water. I've been fishing all night. I don't even know who you are. But this is sounding very familiar. And you ever have a deja vu moment? You ever one of those days where you're walking through and you're like, I really feel like I lived this day once before. Or it's like, I remember doing that. You know, it's just kind of a weird feeling. He's having this deja vu moment where he's like, I remember another man that asked me if I caught any fish and I said nothing. And he told me to cast my nets off the side of the boat. And when I did, I had the catch of my life. And it says that he put down the nets. And let me read to you from John chapter 21. It says, they did what he said. And all of a sudden there were so many fish in it that they weren't strong enough to pull it in. Then the disciple that Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the master. It's the master. He's back. You know, before Schwarzenegger came along, Jesus was the first one that said, I'll be back. And he kept his word. He came back and they said, the master has returned. And Peter felt like things were falling apart. But it's when he went back to the beginning and revisited what he was first passionate about that he was able to recalibrate. And then he was able to, number two, write this down, reevaluate your journey. When you feel like you've got the attitude of, I'm done, I'm struggling, reevaluate your journey. How many of you have found that life will change without your permission? Seasons will change. Children grow up and leave as we've are experiencing ourselves. Or, you know, jobs can change. Or you can, the Lord may call you to move to a different town or call you into a different profession or whatever it is. If the Lord's the one that's calling you to do it, then you need to listen to him. But the question will always be, whatever journey you're on, are you taking time to reevaluate the exact journey that you're on so that you know that you're hearing the Lord? Sometimes we have to reevaluate. Not because we're ignorant or something like that, but it's because we need to take time and find out where our strengths and our weaknesses are. How many of you have ever had a job performance evaluation? You ever get those on the job? Every 6 months, every year, they sit down and they say, it's time for an evaluation. And then they usually tell you, they say, so tell us, you know, how things are going. How are you feeling working for the company? And you tell them what you think they want to hear, right? And or maybe you share something that you're struggling with. And they say, well, what do you think, how do you think you've added to the company, and where do you can you see yourself growing? And then it's time for the boss to give his input. And he says, well, you know, I think things are going, and however they're going, here's where I see some of your strengths, here's where I see some of your weaknesses, here's the things I need to see that we need to work on. What are you doing? You're reevaluating your journey. We do it in our workplace, but sometimes we forget to do it in our relationship with God. God, I've said this many times this year, what do you have to say? Where I'm at right now, I feel like I'm just done, but that's me. What do you say? What is it that you want me to focus on? What do I need to be looking at? Because if we don't have moments to reevaluate and dial in to hear the Lord, then we're just going to be hearing voices from all over the neighborhood. There's a story of one guy who went out in his neighborhood one night and thought he heard a bird nest, so he thought it was an owl, so he kind of hooted to the owl. Hoo! Did that one night, did it another night. Finally, on the fourth night, hoo! And this the owl hooted back. And he thought, there is an owl out there. So he went out night after night after night. He started journaling. He thought he was on the breakthrough of an interspecies vocabulary. He was going to, you know, this owl meets with me every night. And his wife thought, this is just, he's crazy, you know. And she went over to the neighbor's house one night and talked to the neighbor's wife. She said, where's your husband? Oh, he's outside. Every night he's been going out and he's been hooting at an owl and keeping track of it. And she went, so is my husband. And then they put the two pieces together. They've just been talking to one another. Complete loss, complete waste of time. And I'll guarantee you this, that if you lean into what the world has to say, you're going to get no greater information than two guys hooting at an owl in the backyard. Reevaluate your journey so you know you're hearing his voice, so that you know what the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. Hagar in the Bible was a maidservant to Sarah. It's kind of a longer story, but the short version is Hagar was sent off with her child. She was booted out of the family. She was wandering and wondering what she's going to do and how is she going to feed her child. And she decides that she's going to feed her child, and then the two of them are going to die. But then, it says, the angel of the Lord showed up. Look at Genesis chapter 16, verse 8. It's up on the screens, and read this one with me, nice and loud. It's in your outlines. Take a look there as well. Genesis chapter 16, verse 8. Ready? Go. And he said, Hagar, Sarah's maid, where have you come from and where are you going? Aren't those good questions? When you reevaluate your life and your journey, he's going to ask you, hey, where have you come from? Which that's usually easy. Well, you know, this has all been going on and you can share your history. But he asks the all-important question, where are you going? Do you think the angel of the Lord didn't know where she was going? No, the angel of the Lord knew. We say the angel didn't have a clue. No, the angel of the Lord was leaving a clue for her. Notice how he addresses her as Sarah's maid. I just told you she was kicked out of the family. But the angel of the Lord made sure to let her know, you've not lost anything in my sight. You're still a servant within this family because this is about the family of God. And he asked an all-important question, where have you come from and where are you going? Let me ask you this morning. Maybe you're here today and you feel like, I'm struggling. I'm done. I'm frustrated. Well, where have you come from? And most importantly, where are you going? Where are you going? Where do you want to head to? I believe that most of us here have, at some level, a low-grade frustration that's just been draining us. It's like a slow burn as we started this year. I don't know why. I don't have all the answers. I can blame COVID and storms and life and circumstances. But in this world, you will have tribulation and yet be of good cheer because he's overcome the world. I'm going to give you a challenge at the end of service. Maybe you're here today and you're drained. You're depleted. You're frustrated. You don't know how you can go on anymore. I'm going to give you a challenge. We can't do altar calls, but I'm going to give you a challenge to respond. I'm letting you know that now because I know that some of you need to kind of mentally prepare. I don't know if I want to respond to that. You know, I don't want to be embarrassed. You don't worry about that. If the Holy Spirit is offering something, why wouldn't you take it? Why wouldn't you take it? Sarah, or Hagar, saw that, angel of the Lord. And when he reached out, she responded. She responded to the call of the Holy Spirit, but he asked a good question. Where are you going? I have an uncle. His name's Uncle Everett. He's gone home to be with Jesus within the last year or so, but he was crazy, man. He was just, He was just crazy, but fun crazy. When I was a teenager, you know, he would do some things you don't even want to hear about. But one of the things when we were visiting, me and my friend, he'd come in at 5 in the morning. Yeah, remember, I'm a teenager. I get up at noon, okay? But he'd come in at 5 in the morning, boom, kick the door open, singing, "Oh, the Blood of Jesus," as loud as he could. And you'd be waking up, and you thought, what happened, you know? And he'd go, "Oh, I'm sorry, did I wake you up?" As loud as he could, you know. "Well, I'll leave you to go back to sleep." And he'd slam the door. If you didn't get up, here's what happened next. He'd come in back into the room, and you'd be laying on the floor. It was a hardwood floor, wood floor. And he'd grab my big toe of me and my friend Brian, and he'd lift him up in the air, our feet. And then he'd let go. Boom, your foot would hit the bang. That would wake you up. There was no sleeping after that. Again, he'd go, "I'm sorry, did I wake you up?" We'd be sitting in the front room. And just because he likes to embarrass you or he likes to just mess with your head, I go to leave the room and we're watching TV and I just get up, whether it was to go to the restroom or get a snack or whatever. Every time, and then he'd yell at me and scare me and go, "Where are you going?" And I'd be like, "I'm just going in the other room." He didn't care where I was going. He just wanted to mess with me. But I think many times, though the Holy Spirit won't yell at us or try to scare us or grab us by the big toe, I think he will ask many times, "Where are you going? Where are you headed to?" Because I think many of us today, I just feel like, I don't even know. I don't even care. I'm kind of holding my breath till 2021. Fingers crossed, things get better, right? You know, I heard somebody say, what was it? The number 13 said, "Man, I got a bad rap." Then they had the number 666. "I got an even worse rap." And then you had the number over there going 2020 going, "I beat you all," you know. But you see, we can't blame this on a year. This is a season we're going through where it's God is, by his Spirit, we shouldn't be surprised. And he's going through and he's harvesting and things are happening. And that's why we need to make sure that we have an ear to hear and reevaluate our journey so that we can know what it is that God is speaking to us. And we can only do that when we do number 3. Write this down. Remember who you are. Remember who you are. I am a child of God. Say that with me. I am a child of God. Say it one more time and mean it real good. I am a child of God. Now see, when you kind of pump yourself up like that, you're like, yeah. You know, you start feeling like Rocky. You get bouncing a little bit, you know. You need to do that at home when you're walking around and you feel miserable. You feel like nobody cares. You feel like everything's coming to an end. You have to remind yourself, I am a child of God. I am a son and daughter of the Most High God. I've been bought with a price and it's the blood of Jesus. And he did not go through all of that so I could sit in my front room depressed and alone thinking that I don't have what it takes. I am a child of God. You've got to remind yourself of that because nobody else is going to do it for you, church. Nobody. The world is not. Now, you may have a good support system. You might have some small groups, church family, or a pastor. But when you are at home, it is you, your responsibility is me and my responsibility to remember who we are. Remember who we are. When you say, "I'm done. I just want to give up." You go, "Oh, no, 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 no." You remember who you are. Just even within the last couple days, I kind of fell into this routine of where I was just like, I'm frustrated and I don't know what to do. And it's almost like, now this is just the way I work with the Lord. He speaks to me. I just feel like he walks with me. I just feel like he's like my best friend, Dave, you know, and I can tell Dave anything and I can talk to Dave about everything. And I just feel like that with the Holy Spirit. And I just said, "Lord, I just don't know what to do. I'm so frustrated." And I said, "I feel like I'm losing everything." And it's kind of like the Lord grabbed me by the shirt collars and went, "Hey, you are a child of God." And I was like, "Yeah? You are my son. And there is nothing in this world that's going to take me by surprise. It may shock you a little bit, but I got your back, Jack. And I'm going to watch out for you." And I had to be reminded of that. And when I was reminded that the power of the Holy Spirit is alive and doing well and working in my life, just like he's doing it in yours, it doesn't matter what kind of season you're going through. If you have your eyes focused on him, you're going to make it. You're going to be okay. You're going to be victorious. You're going to succeed. He already said, we are the head, right? And not the tail. You have everything that you need to have the victory because it's been handed to you. But you must remember who you are. Man went over for dinner at somebody's house one night, and they've been married 50 years, and he kept calling his wife sweetheart and honey and pumpkin and, you know, cupcake and, you know, just all these sweet terms of endearment. And the wife went to the kitchen, and the younger man said, "I can't believe it. You guys have been married 50 years, and it's just, you're so in love. You keep calling her sweetheart and honey. I'm so impressed." And the man hung his head, and he said, "I got to tell you the truth, man." He said, "I forgot her name 10 years ago, so I just keep..." Forgetting comes naturally, right? We forget. It's going to happen. But the one thing we must always remember is you and I are the children of God, sons and daughters. So if you feel today like, "I'm done, I'm depleted, I'm frustrated, I don't have any gas in the tank," God wants to do something, I believe, in your heart in about 12 minutes. He's doing it right now. But we're just going to have an opportunity to respond to that. Because if we don't remember, we forget some things. We got to remember. Have you ever noticed we remember the things that we should forget? We forget the things we should remember. You know, you start remembering. Now, I know this probably wouldn't happen in people's relationships here, but, you know, we start remembering the wrong things. I remember they didn't come home till 2 a.m. in the morning. I remember they didn't do what I expected. I remember they didn't do what I demanded. I remember they hurt me with their words. I remember that they hurt me with their actions. You see, it's easy to remember that stuff, but we forget that we've been bought with a price. And the forgiveness that God has extended to us, we are to extend to others. We must do that. That's where we become healthy and whole in our life. And the moment you hear the Holy Spirit say, "You need to forgive," and your flesh goes, "No way," that should be a red flag right there, waving in your face. A warning sign that's pointing out that you or I have forgotten who we are in Christ Jesus because we've been bought with the price. Proverbs 19:27. Take a look at this scripture and let's read it together. Ready? Go. "Stop listening to my instruction, my son, and you will stray from the words of knowledge." Pretty self-explanatory. You, son, daughter, children. Stray from listening to me. Or stop listening to me, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. We all want knowledge. We all want wisdom. We all want to know everything's going to be okay. So the question is are we listening or not? Because that's only how you find out who you are. If we're not making it a habit to listen to God, we're sunk. It's the Word of God that's going to tell you who you really are. Here's what happens is this. When you feel alone, you can remember by looking in the Word of God that you are God's child. John chapter 1, verse 12. When you feel unwanted, you remember that you're a friend of God. John chapter 15. When you're fearful, you remember God has not given you a spirit of fear. When you feel sinful, remember that you're forgiven. Ephesians 1, 8. When you feel hopeless, remember that He gave you hope. His hope. Ephesians 1:12. When you feel like your life is in shambles, remember that you have His peace. Ephesians chapter 2. When you feel like you can't forgive, you remember that you can forgive others because you've been forgiven. Ephesians 4:32. When you feel defeated, you remember that you're victorious. 1 John 5:4. The list goes on and on and on and on. The promises of God are there. So no matter what it is you're going through, the question is not, has God forgotten about me or does God have anything to say? The question is have you gone and found the promise that you need to hang your hat and your heart on? You need to be able to say, "Lord, what promise? What are you going through right now today?" If I were to ask you, what's the thing you're struggling with the most? Think about that. Don't tell anybody. Just think about it. And then I challenge you to ask the question, "Now, Lord, what do you have to say? Lord, will you show me in the scripture?" You can go, if you have to Google it, Google it. If you need to ask for the help from the staff, we'll do that. You have friends in your family. But the promises are there. And they will help you remember who you are in Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians says, you are Christ's body. That's who you are. You must never forget this, the Bible says. You must never forget this. And when you remember, then you, number four, write this down, recalibrate your outlook. I'm not talking about your computer outlook, Microsoft Outlook. I'm talking about your perspective that God gives in life. You recalibrate it. What we're talking about is reprogramming, if you will, to think and see, is it to see what God sees, to hear what God hears, so that we can do what God would have us to do. Too many times we let other things in this world program how we think. We've let media and television decide how we should think. Now, don't get me wrong, I love movies. That's one of the things that fills my tank. When I'm stressed, I pop movies on and I watch them. I'm not saying don't watch TV. I'm just saying that media has done a good job at trying to reprogram our minds. Little Johnny was in math class one day, and the math teacher asked and said, "Johnny, what's 2, 4, 28, and 46? And he said, "CBS, NBC, TNT, and Cartoon Channel." I don't think that's what she was asking. But his mind was reprogrammed to think first and foremost about what's on TV. Elijah in the Bible says he was a man just like us. But he lost his outlook because of one woman named Jezebel. Let me read this to you real quick. 1 Kings says, this is Elijah speaking. "I have been very zealous for the Lord," he said, "the God of hosts, for the sons of Israel have forsaken your covenant, tore down your altars, killed your prophets with the sword, and I alone am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And on top of that, right now he's feeling depressed, by the way. He's feeling like he's all alone. He's desiring nothing more than a quick exit from life at this point. And Elijah somehow thought that he was the last godly man on earth, which was not correct. But it's how he felt. Have you ever been there? "I'm the only one that's ever gone through this." And somebody will come along and say, "Oh, I went through that." Well, you haven't gone through it like I've gone through it. I've had it way worse, right? And we feel that way. This is kind of how Elijah's feeling. He didn't feel that he had any support. And then he says, and on top of that, I've got Jezebel that's coming out after me. And he allowed one evil woman to fill up his whole radar screen and ruin his outlook. A lot of times we get so distracted and discouraged because sometimes we allow one thing to take up the whole radar screen. We don't realize that God's got a bigger radar. He's got a bigger screen. And that's why we have to revisit our beginnings, reevaluate our journey, remember who we are in Christ, and then recalibrate our outlook to what? To God's perspective. Because Elijah, all he saw was Jezebel. But when God looked at his radar, he saw Elijah doing miraculous things, being a mouthpiece for God, and accomplishing great things in the name of the Lord. He saw greater outcomes. He saw not only Elijah, but that there was going to be a passing on of that anointing down the line. But he was stuck. I'm done. I can't do this anymore. And I'm going to say this about Elijah. It was true. He meant it. He felt it, right? When you're going through those seasons, you don't pretend like you don't feel them, or you shouldn't. You got to be self-aware. I'm struggling. I'm depressed. I'm sad. I'm lonely. I'm angry. I'm bitter. Whatever it is, when you can be honest with yourself and identify that, that's called self-awareness. And he was doing that, and he was becoming aware of how he felt, but his perspective was still his perspective, and he needed God's. Maybe you're here today, and you need to become self-aware. Well, why is everybody always so grouchy around here? Everywhere I go. Well, maybe the common denominator is you. Well, what am I so grouchy about? It's a good question. And then you start figuring that out. Well, Lord, would you show me and change my perspective? Why am I so angry? Why am I so sad? Why am I so... And you start working that through. And God will give you his perspective. But the question is what standard are you going to use? You may be in a relationship right now and you're frustrated at how it looks, but what are you defining that relationship by? Your standard or God's standard? Proverbs chapter 3 says this. It's familiar. You're going to recognize it. But again, I'm reading from the Message. It says, trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do and everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. He said, don't try to figure out what? Everything on your own.